Welcome to They Mostly Puttered at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host, Graveyard. This is episode 160, that's right, 160 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. This week, we are looking through the eyes of every parent's nightmare. Yes, watching your children suffer and know there's nothing that you can do to stop. I personally am fortunate enough not to have this problem. But most adults will. They're all breeders, as we like to call them. So we visit three films that show upsetting things that happen to children, one of which is a remake of a film that was only 2 years old. Well, it was only 2 years old at the time the remake was made. How about that?
It was, you know, an American remake.
Yeah. So join us as we venture into child abuse. It was made in 2022 and remade in 2024. It's not like it was like a low budget foreign film. It was like a major film. Mm-hmm. I don't get why they did that. Like it
mostly
was like
in English too.
Right. Yeah. Because it was like, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But it's like a Dutch couple and a Danish couple. And so when they're speaking amongst themselves, they're speaking their native tongue. When they speak to each other, they speak English.
Yep,
that's the language they both understand. Mm-hmm. This week my notes are all over the place because I knew that we were going to watch Speak No Evil, so I started watching that first, and then I realized that's not the first in chronological order. And then I was like, well, I already watched the first one. I want to watch the remake right after it. So there's lots of scribbles all over this page because I put all the movies in the room. We're watching three movies. So that's Killing of a Sacred Deer, Speak No Evil, and Speak No Evil. One from 2022 and one from 2024. 2024 being the American remake. Mm-hmm. The 2022 version being a Danish-Dutch partnership foreign film.
Yeah.
Do you feel that this movie accurately depicted your Dutch people?
Yes, we are known for violence.
All right. So we're starting with Killing of a Sacred Deer. Now, to be honest, not a whole lot happens overall in this film. It's mostly a two-hour
movie. Yes,
right. It's mostly like, you know, cinematography and showing the kind of unraveling of these people as these events are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like you just say the events that happen, I could probably be done in 3 minutes. But obviously the movie is more than that. But I guess we'll get into that. But anyway, yeah. So the plot of the film is that, just going to give you all the information in the beginning, is one is that it's Colin Farrell stars as a cardiac surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be a drunk. Now, at some point in time, he was drunk during a surgery and accidentally killed a patient. Now, years later, the son of that patient, it's not quite clear how they met up or like what happened to start that. Because Colin Farrell's character doesn't really feel like that kind of guy who would reach out. somehow they like partnered up and they like meet up, you know, like whatever, once a week to talk. And he like kind of acts as kind of like a father figure to this kid. The kid's name is Martin. Played by Barry Coe, who's kind of sort of famous now. He wasn't. This was one of his starting roles, mm-hmm. I believe. Probably the role that gave, you know, him his acting chops or whatever, accolades, whatever you want to call it. So their relationship, you know, goes on to where Martin is getting a little too pushy. Like he wants, you know, to come over for dinner. Then he wants Colin Farrell to come over to his house for dinner. And then he comes over. His mom's played by Alicia Silverstone, which I believe at this point, this was like her comeback movie. Like she had been gone for a long time at this point.
Yeah, this and then essentially that was The Lodge.
Right. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, these were like her comeback roles. It's not a big role, but it was fun seeing her. Anyway. Mm-hmm. They come over, she like makes out with his hands and he like freaks out and leaves. And Barry Martin doesn't like that. So he kind of starts again pressuring him, talking to his family, telling his wife that, you know, oh, he was making out with my mom. You know, he starts to like hit on Colin Farrell's daughter, and he tries to befriend the son, but the son, I think, sees through him. The son never quite like lit up to him at all. So Colin Farrell continues to keep ignoring him. He finally forces him to talk to him after his son like loses all feeling in his legs and collapses. And he goes to the doctor to find out what it is. Martin, you know, pops up and says, oh, we need to talk. So they go into the cafeteria and they talk. And Martin basically says, you know, your children and your wife will eventually, they'll start with limb, you know, numbness. Stage it'll go to like yeah. them not eating. Then they'll mm-hmm. bleed from their eyes and then they'll die. And you have to choose one of them to kill because you killed my dad. So you have to kill one of your own family members as payment. And you get to choose which one. If you don't choose, they all die. But if you do choose, then only that one will die. And then he kind of exits out. He keeps messing with the daughter a little bit. But at this point, he kind of lets things play out. So the son progresses. You know, his limbs are numb. He won't eat. The daughter, you know, her legs go numb. She stops eating. Basically, they're trying to like figure out what's going on. Lots of medical stuff. The medical people are like, we have no idea. We don't know what's going on. It looks like they're faking it, but obviously they're not.
Right.
So he's freaking out. They kidnap Martin, tie him up in their pool table rec room. And they're like beating on him, and he even like shoots him, like trying to get the information. And Martin's just not giving him anything. So the mom eventually kind of feels bad for him and just lets him go. And he essentially exits the film at that point. And then like Colin Farrell eventually, like his son starts bleeding out of his eyes, and now he knows that the end is near for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he does this bizarre thing where he ties up his wife and his two kids in the living room, pulls a wool cap over his eyes, and with a rifle spins around the room, kind of doing like what I call rifle roulette. Right? It's like spinning and spinning and spinning and then like firing in a random direction. And he does it several times before he finally shoots his own son in the heart of all places. And the son dies. And then the ending of the film is basically the wife, the daughter, and Colin Farrell going out to dinner at the place he used to meet Martin at, seeing Martin walk in. And then they kind of like just share a glance with each other, and then they just leave.
Yep.
And that's it.
No explanation of what happens or how they explain the son getting shot and the aftermath of all that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he shot the son, so that fulfilled the him killing, you know, one of his family members so that the other ones.
Right. I'm just saying, lit. Like, how would you explain that to the cops, to whoever?
I don't know. I mean, maybe bury him in your background and say somebody kidnapped him. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah,
or say he was cleaning in your gun and he shot himself. I don't know.
Something like that. But yeah, I know you had seen this one before, and this is my first time.
Right. Yeah, I have seen it. I saw it. This is a couple years back, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was recommended to me by a friend, and yeah, it's interesting for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this does pop up on a number of lists for, you know, kind of like, you know, what the fuck did I just watch type movies, because not a lot is explained in it.
No, I mean, yeah, they give you like the ultimatum, but like as to what is happening behind the scenes, you get zero information.
Right. And I would even say, like, at the beginning of the movie, like, oh, maybe it's like an illegitimate kid that just he started hanging out with because he seemed to hide it, and you don't really know what is going on in the movie for a good chunk of it.
Well, yeah, and they never really do come out and say it.
Yeah.
It's just you have to kind of infer that's what mm-hmm. happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in any case, that's what Martin believes happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one holding the cards, as it were.
Yep. Put on your highlights first.
Sure. Why not? And look at my mess of notes to see. Okay. So, the cast on this movie is good. It's great. So you got Colin Farrell, you got Nicole Kidman plays the wife, Barry Keoghan plays Martin, and you even get Silverstone and kind of like, I don't know, I'd say almost a cameo role. I mean, she does speak a bunch of lines in that scene, but she's really only in one scene.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, cast was great. The music is also good. I mean, it's like weirdly like loud and unsettling in certain moments, like when it shouldn't be, but I think it does a good job of keeping you like engaged, right? Like,
yeah.
It's kind of, it's a good counterpoint to what's happening, I think. Now there's a kind of like delightful awkwardness with how everyone is talking to each other. Like in the beginning of the film, like, and it progresses into them unraveling and then, you know, screaming as normal people towards the end. But in the beginning, it's like when they're talking to each other, it's like, it feels like everybody has like these canned responses. Like they were planning for this question to be asked to them and they just kind of spit it out. Not in like a bad writing way, but in like a demonstrating how fake people are when they're doing small talk and stuff mm-hmm. like that. To where like it's all just kind of canned responses. You're just waiting for your turn to talk and you just want to tell these like mini stories about something that you said and the other person doesn't really care.
Yeah.
It's only, like,
mm-hmm. go ahead. It's like, yes, mother.
Right. And yeah, it's just very odd. It's like, yeah, it's very awkward. Like you're like, wow, these people like really must not like each other because it's just like the way that they're talking. And then as the movie progresses and everything gets more and more, you know, crazy and desperate, they start talking, you know, to each other that normally, but of course they're angry or upset or frustrated, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just think it's an interesting take on the dialogue for sure.
Yeah.
Like the ultimatum that Martin gives him is kind of just like offhanded. He's like, first it'll be this, then this, then this, then this. Sorry, you got to kill one of them. Bye.
Yep.
Like it's just as awkward as the conversations they're having earlier, but like that big weight to what he's saying really is not conveyed in that awkwardness. Of course, Colin Farrell doesn't really take him seriously at that point, but
how could you?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, it's like what is Martin? Is Martin like a warlock? Does he like have magic powers? Because like the kids definitely had exactly what he said they would have.
Well, and when he talked to the girl on the phone when she's in the hospital, he told her to stand up and she was able to and walk. And then as soon as he got off the phone, it stopped.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so he like has some kind of ability or power or something.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think he's like a warlock, but he's only like 16. He's not. Yep. I don't know. Maybe he was born with warlock powers. Maybe he made a pact with a demon or something. But yeah, not explained. There's no why, really. There's no how for sure. Again, most of like why he's doing it is inferred. Like they never come out and say like, oh yeah, he killed him because he was drunk. It's just like, you know, he had a drinking issue before. And the closest you get is when she's talking to his anesthesiologist and he's like, he was drinking then, but no, it wasn't his fault. But you know, I've never killed anybody. Surgeons kill people. And then the surgeon says, I never kill anybody. It's the anesthesiologist that kills people. So there's no like responsibility taken in the movie at all. And we never really get a definitive answer as to what really happened, which is, you know, in real life, that's the way things go. You really don't ever get the whole story from one side or the other. You have to get both stories and then look at the point in between where the truth is.
Right. And as far as Barry was concerned, it's not like he got, as far as we know, he wasn't getting revenge on like the nurses that were in the room and the anesthesiologist as well. It's just he determined it was Colin. Therefore, it's him.
Right. Yeah. But just, yeah, their overall statement on, you know, the fake way that we talk to each other is great. And then again, I just like the worse that it gets, like the more real they become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they only really speak what's out really on their mind and like say things that really matter when things are fucked up and when they're desperate and people are upset. And that's the only time they drop that fake act and say real stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, for sure. As I agree with everything you said, the acting is spectacular. The mystery is beautifully done. It's not like a lost situation. It really is a slow burner of a movie.
It is. It is.
It takes a lot, a long time for things to kind of even ramp up.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of these movies that are like slow burners like that, like I lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if like things are just kind of going through the motion and stretching it out intentionally, like I feel myself like reaching for my phone or like, oh, I should get a drink. You know, stuff, you know, just stuff like that. Like I'm not invested in it. This movie, for whatever reason, you're like invested in it. Well, at least
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I completely agree. As you said, they're just all weird people. Every single one of them. You know, like it's Nicole Kidman when she's ready to seduce her husband, she pretends that she was put under.
Well, yeah, I'm going to discuss that on my other side. But yeah.
And, you know, his dad's favorite movie is Groundhog Day, of course, right? But yeah, like I said, everything you said, the music, everything is beautifully done in this movie. I'll go into one of the points. Obviously, the choice itself, damn near impossible. Everyone's having arguments for it. You know, even the wife goes, kill one of the kids, we can make another one.
After she attempts to seduce him after all this crazy shit has happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my favorite is when he goes to the school principal and he's so if you had to choose between one or the other, which one would you choose? And he's like, wow, dude, that's a fucked up question.
Yeah. He's like, well, which one's better grades? They're both equally good in different things. Just pick one. Like, ask it. Can you just pick for me?
Right. Can you choose which child is going to die?
Yeah. I have magic question mark. I don't know.
He's a warlock, like, I guess. I don't know.
Even Colin's figured out what the anti-spell was. Like, let's get the teeth and the pews of a virgin. like, okay. So in his head, he's trying to like reason and understand what happens, but you don't really know.
Well, because he comes from a medical world where there's an answer to everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you get the right experts in the room, they can tell you what's happening. And then after he gets like a meeting of the minds of like the best doctors in the whole country, and they basically say, yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
And he gets really pissed off.
Yeah. And this is my first time seeing it. When Nicole Kidman starts kissing Barry's feet, I'm like, okay, is like she going to bang him to make him stop in front of her kids?
That
was the initial thought.
I mean, honestly, I think she would, because she's doing anything to save her children.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, subjugating herself to him would free her children, she would for sure do that.
Yeah.
And I think that was her last kind of reaching out to him to see if he could be changed. You know what I mean? If his mind could be changed and he would stop whatever he's doing and let everyone live. Mm-hmm. And I think that would just prove to her that he would not, that one of them would need to die.
Yeah. And overall, I don't think it's fair that only Colin got to speak in his actual voice. Everyone else had to do American accents.
Right. Yeah. That's what's funny. It's like everybody is foreign in this film. Like Nicole Kidman's Australian and she has to have an American accent.
Barry is foreign. The daughter.
He's Scottish. He's like, he's got a very thick accent.
Yeah. The daughter is English. So everyone had to use an American accent, except Colin. They're like, yeah.
Yeah. Colin Farrell's got that mumbling Irish accent. He's fine. Yeah. But everybody else has to do an accent.
Like, that's unfair. So.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. That's what I got. How about you?
It opened the beginning of the film. The opening scene is literally open heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
That's disturbing. I don't know. Thanks. When Colin Farrell tries to have sex with his wife. Now, this is disturbing on two levels to me. One is that, like, in order for him to, like, get turned on by his wife, she has to just, like, lay there and pretend like she's asleep, which is weird. And two, that means that, like, if he's working on someone, he might be having fantasies and, like, wanting to, like, act on a person that's literally under anesthetic, ready for surgery. Like, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. the daughter singing, that awkward singing scene, like, no, stop. it was too long and I did not like it. I understand the point of it, but like, no thanks.
Yeah, I was watching it in a separate room just because with the kids and the wife, and the wife goes, are you watching a Christmas movie? I go, no, I'm not. But there's Christmas songs.
Well, the Christmas song was bad enough, but it was the one where she was just like leaning up against the tree with Martin, just like singing a cappella by herself.
Her improv a cappella?
Yeah. It was horrible. I'm like, this needs to stop. Mm. And like, how old is she? Like 13? She says in the film, like, she just had her first period.
I know.
I'm not saying, like, I know some girls are a little older when that happens, but I would say the majority are like, what, 12, 14 ish?
About, yeah.
Yeah. So
it depends, though.
I don't know. It's kind of implied that she's 13 and Martin's like
16.
Yeah. And trying to sort of like hit on her. She's like throwing herself at him. And the fucked up thing is that when she's throwing herself at him, she lays out like her mom does,
uh-huh,
and pretends like she's under anesthesia. So like, is she watching them? It's like, does she think that's how like normal sex is? That's weird.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that's the whole point of this film, is to like weird you out. When Colin Farrell is like trying to force the kids to get better, like he's trying to like force feed the kid donuts and he's like picking him up and like trying to make him walk on the floor and then just like throwing him on the floor like when his legs don't work. I mean, that's just fucked up. It's like, dude, calm down.
Well, he did threaten to cut his kid's hair and make him eat it
too. Right. Well, that was again, he's just trying to get the kid to get a haircut. That's
right.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Dude, that pool table dungeon, right?
Yeah.
Like that fucking rec room looked like a murder room. Like it was horrible looking. Like, you know, you figure like guys, a doctor with like a shit ton of money, you think you could have a better rec room than that.
It was almost like a discount Eyes Wide Shut.
Right. Yeah. It was a very ominous room. I did not like it. And that whole rifle roulette thing, like, I don't understand, like, in reality, you know how many shots you would have to fire to like hit something? He's literally just spinning around and then firing random. Like, it's hard enough to hit somebody when you're aiming at them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like trying to randomly shoot them. I understand it's a movie and at least they had a miss a few times first, but you know, in reality that would not work. But yeah, I call it rifle roulette, but it's mm-hmm. stupid roulette. That's all I got.
All right. What are our olives this week?
Abused children. Go figure.
Yeah.
So you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first. Like I said, this is my first time seeing it, and it is a slow burn, what the fuck am I watching thing. But as you said, it's 2 hours long, but it holds your attention, I think, the entire way through, because you're like intrigued and trying to figure out what the hell's actually going on. I will give this 8.25 abused children out of 10. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. It's a great movie. I like it a lot. I'm going to go a little bit higher. I'm going to go 8.7.
Ooh.
And then we move on to the first of two of the same film. And mm-hmm. that is Speak No Evil from 2022 with your Dutch fellows.
I mean, what we could do is I'll do this one, then you can say what the third act difference is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. I'm going to say, like, the movies are more or less identical up until mm-hmm. Act 3.
I told you they were very different.
Correct.
For the end. So essentially, Speak No Evil from 2022, the Dutch-Danish collaboration, that is, had no pastries. It is involved, we meet up with a couple, and they're on, like, how long of a vacation? It seems like weeks or entire summer, almost. But they're staying at, like, I don't even say a resort. They're just sightseeing. And they kind of get introduced to another couple there with their kid. Abel and their daughter's Agnes, and they kind of hit it off and just have talks. And like, you know what? You know, after partying and all summer, it's like, you should come to our house in the countryside. It's only like 8 hours drive for you. And Dutch and Danes, they're pretty much the same. It'll be fine. Then we kind of go through like almost an entire year's worth of montage of the Danish family, what they're doing. Like, you know, they sent us a postcard. We should go. And, you know, the wife's like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to go, Louise. She's like, yeah, we'll go, we'll go. So they go there and, you know, go to the house like, hey, cool, here's a room for you guys. And we built your daughter a bed. It's the size of a doll's bed, but we built her a bed. Cool.
Yeah, on the floor. A doll's bed on the floor.
Yeah. They're like, okay. And it's kind of just them going through, like, they're staying there about a week-ish, I guess. And, you know, they got, you know, we find out that the Dutch husband, he says he's a doctor, all this jazz. And, you know, Louise is a vegetarian, the Danish wife, and he tries feeding her a piece of meat and she took a bite, which I get. He maybe forgot because she didn't mention it and is, you know, kind of on her saying I'm vegetarian.
But I don't whatever. I don't think he forgot at all. I think I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You find out that he was definitely doing it on purpose, but
yeah.
At that point in time, you don't necessarily, maybe he forgot, right? It's more prevalent, I'd say, in the American one. And it's like, okay, this is weird. And like, strange things kind of start happening. Like, hey, we're going to have a night out. Hey, here's this foreign guy that doesn't speak any English. They're going to watch your kids, and we're going to go to this place, and we're going to have all this food. You know, we'll take you out to dinner. Cool. And they're like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's this Dutch thing. What's this? It's like this other Dutch thing, like without saying what's in it. They kind of, you know, start eating and
it was like a stam pot. You know, do you know what that is?
I have no idea.
Okay. I have no idea what it is. I thought maybe you would have a better chance than I would.
Well, they said essentially, I believe it's just it's like a hash, but they mash everything together.
Yeah,
so big potato dish. So I'm not gonna eat that, so I don't know. So that's all happening. You know, the Dutch couple, they get kind of drunk, and as they're driving back, they're just speeding and just listening to music. Like, okay, this is making us very, very uncomfortable. We are asking you to stop. Please stop. They start going, no, we're just having fun, and it was enough to kind of make the wife go, you know what, we should probably go. And so they kind of go to leave, but, you know, we learned that the daughter has his favorite rabbit, and like, oh no, she forgot the rabbit, so they have to turn back. They left without saying goodbye, and they get back there, and they're like, okay, well, all this is kind of happening. We can't have this. I think also, like, you know, the Danish couple's bone, and their daughter was crying out for them. They didn't listen, and she ended up being, like, naked, or, you know, naked next to the husband of the other guy, which is weird. They left to come back, like, you know what? You know, I'm a vegetarian. You don't seem to care. It's like, no, 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 you're right. We're going to have the best day ever here. We promise you. Like, okay, we'll make it good. And then yard work. Yay, yard work. Cool. And then, like, kind of like, okay, things are kind of ish normal. And then things start to get really unhinged where, you know, the kids are like, hey, we're going to do this dance. And Abel is not able to do it very well, and the dad gets very upset and starts yelling at him. You know, the Dutch wife starts scolding and telling their Agnes what to do, how to do things, and just not listening to the parents. So, like, they're really asserting themselves and their dominance. And, like, okay, this is definitely not cool. But, you know, in the middle of the night, the Danish dad goes, huh, what's that? And he kind of goes and investigates and finds pictures of them, the Dutch couple, with many different children and many other couples that are just like them. Like, okay, this is not good.
Well, yeah, you basically see, like, because they take the picture of their family and the other family, just like the postcard that they sent out. So it's like a whole bunch of those postcards. But you see the child move from the couple that's not them to them in the next picture.
Yep.
So it's like they're cycling through children.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah, very much so. And he kind of goes to the swimming pool that he has inside the house, and Abel's dead inside.
Yeah.
He's like, yep, I'm out. Gets in this car, and even though his tank's on E, still makes it to the gas station, surprisingly. And he's like, okay, this is not good. And their con just followed. And he tries to go to a house for help and comes back, and his wife and daughter are gone. Oh, look, he's with the other couple, and here comes that babysitter, and caught the tongue of Agnes. Now she's theirs. And they go, okay, cool. Now you guys get naked and go into that ravine, and we'll kill you by throwing rocks at you.
And yeah, death by stoning is not by stoning. Nice. Yeah.
Yep. And, well, the Dutch couple just keeps to continue doing whatever they're doing.
Right.
I will say that, you know, it is a more stark version of American that we'll obviously get into here, but, you know, when I watched this one in prep for the American one, and I go, you know what? I kind of like this original one more.
Well, to me, it's not even a question. Yeah. I mean, to me, this one is by far superior.
Mm-hmm. It is.
We'll get there.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I mean, like, and this is just like a, this is also on list, but like you can watch it and you hear little tidbits, but like a paragraph doesn't really begin to explain the creepiness, the intensity that exists and the awkwardness that exists in this movie. And
right.
Like, what do you do in that situation?
Right. It's kind of like, you know, what do you do when people you don't really like are guilt tripping you?
Mm-hmm.
Into doing something you really don't want to do simply because, like, polite society tells you not to be mean to them, right, and to do what they want. It's like, how far are you willing to go?
That's the answer. Harder than I would.
Oh, correct. Correct. The scene where they were driving out and the kid and the little girl was like, I can't find my rabbit. I'm like, you're getting a new fucking rabbit.
Yep. I mean,
I would have been like, I don't give a shit. Time. You will be sad about it for a couple of days, but fucking no, we are not going back at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what was your initial thought on this movie? Was it, are you glad it didn't really spoil anything for you?
Well, I mean, I knew obviously that the kid was abused, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know. Yeah, I'm glad the whole thing wasn't ruined for me. But yeah, you don't know the extent of it,
mm-hmm,
until obviously you get to the very end of the film. Obviously, you realize that, yeah, they're very abusive and fucked up, but you don't realize that that kid isn't even theirs. And they've done this to how many other countless kids, and all those parents have to be dead.
Yep. I would think there, how many, you know, we saw the little pile of stones that was next to them when they stoned it, but there's like bigger piles of stones neatly placed.
Yeah, there was a lot of them. So yeah. I'm guessing that was all of the other couples.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
I'll start with my highlights. I wouldn't mind that Italian vacation.
To Tuscany?
Yeah. That everything's kind of just like taken care of for you.
I don't know. You know, I would really like to vacation in Europe, but the only thing that turns me off is, like, I would feel like such an asshole because I don't speak the language.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, like, I would go in somewhere and be, like, you know, trying to use, like, fucking hand signals and speaking English like an asshole. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that American tourist person.
Mm-hmm.
That's I would just feel bad. So when we get to the point of, like, universal translators, I probably wouldn't feel so bad. But we're not there yet.
Yeah. But like I said, I wouldn't mind that. The entire movie is a slow burn. As you said, it's seeing how far you can be pushed to doing something. Like I said, would I have gone to that person's house to begin with? No. But.
No way. I would not go to some Pearson's house that I barely knew. And I'd be trapped out there in the middle of nowhere. Like, no way.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and again, this is the one scene is like, why are you doing this to us? And he literally says, because you let us.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, kind of chilling because it's fucking true. Like, you stayed when you should have left multiple times.
Oh yeah. And you know, the Dutch wife isn't as unhinged as the husband, but when he gets unhinged, he goes full out crazy.
Right.
And I think the acting in this was amazing. For the adults. And of course, the bad ending. Like, it's a bad ending. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah, it doesn't get much worse than that.
No. That's what I have. How about you?
Yeah. Now, I really like when they have like this crazy, ominous music playing over like normal, mundane events.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like kids swimming in a pool and it's like, you know, horrible, like things are horrible happening to you. Music. It was really fun. They do that a lot throughout the movie and it's just a fun kind of counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the building up of the uncomfortable level, right? It's like they start off being, you know, a little awkward, but trying to be overly nice, and they ended up just like slowly showing how unhinged they are as they go along and like how long they can get these people to stay there.
Yeah.
It's a great building up of that, and you really just want to yell at them like, get the fuck out of there. But there's also a part of you that understands why they didn't leave, right? Because it's like that kind of guilt trip, like I don't want to be mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like so at some point you have to be. But yeah, it's just a fun adventure into that. I mean, obviously the reveal of like the truth and the bad ending. I love bad endings like that. And the reveal of the truth. Again, I didn't see the level of that coming. I kind of knew that obviously something bad was happening to the kid. They give that away in the trailer, but
yeah.
Not how bad, like mm-hmm. how bad that situation is. I would say the performances, like you said, the acting is phenomenal. I mean, I don't even understand what they're saying half the time. And when they're speaking English, it's very accented on both sides. But like the performances are amazing. Like, especially yeah. like at the end, like I don't think anyone could watch the scene of that dude, like finally like collapsing, you know, you can feel when his like will to live just kind of like fails him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, I mean, like you watch that, it doesn't matter what languages he's speaking or what's going on. Like you can feel that, like that was a phenomenal performance, I thought. And then they got literally, they take off your clothes. They were both standing there just fully nude.
Yep.
And then they walked down and were getting hit with rocks and stones while fully nude. Like one, that's brave of those actors for sure. And two, what a horrible way to go.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I'll run into my low points here. They're like, the dude is driving the car playing music really fucking loud. And like, oh, he's, you know, he just like this when he's drunk. He plays music really loud. Like, why the fuck is he driving then? Like, everybody else in that car was less drunk than him. Why is he driving?
Yeah.
I was like, maybe it's okay in Holland, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
that, maybe.
I don't know. Just the way that they said it very casually, like, oh, he's just drunk.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. Yeah, the creepiness level is crazy. This movie just weirds you out a lot of time. Again, fuck that bunny. Yeah. I would have been like, tough shit, that bunny's dead. And the fucking horrible thing is that the bunny was in the fucking backseat the whole time.
Yep.
She just couldn't find it. That fucking kid caused them all to die and fall apart because she couldn't remember where she put the fucking bunny.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, why did you agree to stay? You had so many options to leave. Like, you literally left in the middle of the night. Like, things were that bad the first time. And then you came back. And then did it again. It's like, what is wrong with you guys?
Well, I think they would have gotten away scot-free the first time.
They totally would have. Mm-hmm. They totally would have. They wouldn't even known they were gone.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I said. Fuck that bunny. Sorry, kid. And yeah, and I mean, especially after that dance thing, dude. After that dance thing happened, I would have packed my shit and left right then.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, we'll just stay one more night. Why? They know you've seen through their veneer now. Like, they know you've seen the true them. Why the fuck would you stay there? Like, you don't feel safe. Like, what are you doing? Like, you came in at night. You're okay with driving at night. Just get out.
Yep.
And the house that he tries to go to at the end, like, one, he's just like driving along a dirt road and all of a sudden his car just gets stuck kind of inexplicably.
Yep.
It's just stuck on a gravel road. I don't understand how that happens. And then he's like, oh, I'm gonna go to that house with the light on way down over there. And then he goes down there and the house has like a moat around it.
Yeah.
Is that like a thing in house? Like, you have a moat around your entire house?
Kinda.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the fuck is with this moat, dude? Yeah, and he just kind of wades through the boat, and we don't see what's in that house at all.
Nope.
Like, nothing is there. And then all of a sudden, he just comes back to the car, and they're gone. It's just a bizarre scene altogether. And then, of course, yeah, the tongue getting cut out, and the stoning is terrible.
Yeah.
But I do like that terrible ending. It's just the terrible way to die.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, like I said, going to the stranger's house that you met on vacation. You know, I understand some people do that. I don't think I've ever bonded with someone so much on vacation. Like, we should hang out. No, it's not.
I've never been on a vacation where I was, like, meeting up with other people. Like, I always went on vacation with people. I didn't talk to other people.
Yeah.
And that's just me, though. I'm not a very social person.
But, I mean, I've done that. And it's just like, no, I'm good, thanks. And like, even for a week, like a long weekend, sure, but like, you can make an excuse to get out of that house whenever you feel like it. And honestly, I think they, like I said, I think they would have let them go the first time. When they chose to come back, that's when they knew they had them.
Well, yeah, when they left the first time, they had like, I don't know what, at least an hour.
Yeah,
I mean, like an hour, like they have no idea which direction they would have driven it,
right?
There ain't no way they're going to catch up to him in an hour. The second time, like, they knew when they left, and when they stopped for gas, he caught up to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's, so, like, you know, it's alluded to that he drained the gas, essentially, too.
Right.
Which, he still made it pretty far. As you said, that damn rabbit, yeah, no kid, you're getting a new one. Like, if
no
the
shit.
Parents go, we can just buy you a new one. You can.
Oh, like, well. Okay, sort of, in the American one, that happens. And she like has it as like her anxiety thing. So I guess it makes a little bit more sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's like two things that they do that I enjoyed of the American one. A lot of things I don't. Mm-hmm. But those are the two things that I enjoyed. I guess we'll get there. But it was like, in her case, it was just her favorite bunny. It's like, tough shit.
Yep.
That bunny's going to be gone. And if they kept going, she would have found that bunny anyway.
Yep.
So yeah, obviously hindsight, but I would have been like, sorry, kid. I'll buy you a big giant bunny at a fucking carnival or something.
Yeah.
But fuck this one particular bunny.
Yeah, as you said, though, it is one of the worst ways to go imaginable I can think of. Just being stoned to death.
Oh, God. I can't imagine. Just sitting there getting hit by rocks until you die. Dear God.
Yeah. That's all I have for low points. So how many abused children out of 10 do you give the Speak No Evil 2022?
Now, this movie is very good. Mm-hmm. Again, there's the performances, everything is just fantastic in this movie. I'm going to say probably a little bit more than Killing of a Sacred Deer. So I'm going to go 8.85.
Yeah, I'm going up to a 9 for this movie, because this is something you just have to watch and experience for yourself. And, you know, even as a parent, you should watch it, because it's just, realize that, yeah, you say no to your kids and think of them and get the fuck out of the house when you
can. Right, right.
But yeah, I think this is just, it's easily one of the best foreign films that we have watched on the show. I think.
Yeah, no, it's definitely up there for sure.
All right, so why don't you take us through the third act difference?
Yeah, essentially, yeah, the first two acts of the film are essentially the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a couple of differences, one being how attached that girl is to her bunny, her anxiety bunny or whatever. So it makes a little bit more sense as to why they needed that bunny.
Mm-hmm.
The one change I didn't get was in the original one, when they come back from the dinner, like, they bone, right? The Danish couple bone, and their daughter was outside the door going like, "Mommy, I want to come in the bed and sleep with you." And they just ignored her and kept boning.
Yeah.
And then when they were done boning is when she went to go look for her and found her in their bed. So it makes sense in the foreign version, it makes sense why she was there. She was crying in the hallway. That lady came and got her and said, "Oh, you can come sleep with us."
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the American one, it makes no sense. Like, why would she go into their bed and not her parents' bed?
Correct.
They completely like cut out the why. I was just like, what the fuck? Why did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that this one does that I kind of like is they explain how the wife ended up with him. They give you kind of like that backstory. Like, she was the first one, and he just kept her long enough to be his wife.
Yeah.
Which is, again, at least we get a little bit of backstory as to why. Like, the wife in the first one was just there. She didn't really do much.
No, I'd say the American one, that the wife does a lot more.
Yeah, so essentially, yeah, the American one, it's like the kids are a lot more involved. There's a lot more scenes with the kids earlier on in the film. None of it leads anywhere, but when we get to the beginning of the third act, instead of the dad finding their, like, you know, hidden stash of children pictures, the daughter finds it. Like, the kid that has his tongue cut out, like, tries to communicate with the girl and the dad, like, hey, they cut off my tongue, like, you need to help me. Like, in the original one, he, like, attempts to talk to him one time, and that was it. But he doesn't even say anything or mime anything. It's like, he just mumbles to him, and he's like, what? And then the dad comes out and gets him, and it's done.
Yep.
And this one is like, he full-on shows her where the dungeon is, where all the kid pictures are. Like, he's very involved in the rescue process here. And I think the most egregious change here is that, you know, the Agnes, the daughter, goes back to the parents saying, like, oh, I found this room. You know, they're killing the kids. Like, this kid, you know, Abel is like, you know, their prisoner. We have to get him out. And of course, because this is the, you know, neutered American version, they go on like the rescue fight, right? To where it's like the dude, who was like the chef slash babysitter, the mom and the dad, the evil mom and dad, like, do like a weird siege thing to their own house.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all of the family get out and get away. Like, we're talking even fucking Abel.
Yep.
Survives. So it's the good mom, the good dad, and both of the kids get away, and all three of the bad people die.
Yes.
So it's the exact opposite of the foreign version. Like, they literally change everything. The whole third act is the complete opposite of what it was before. I don't know. I don't think I have to add anything else to that, do I?
I'll say it now. They made the weird subplot of the wife, like, cheating on the husband, and the American husband's just a beta male and useless, essentially.
Yeah, it's like a weird thing. I guess that was like the reason why they didn't have a sex scene. I guess, because like the sex scene makes sense in the original film. Like, that was one of the points of, like, she was upset about her going into bed, and the mom and the evil mom was like, well, why did you let her cry outside your door? Like, yeah. I brought her in here to comfort her. Like, that made sense.
Uh-huh.
Now, in the American one, it doesn't make sense. At that point, you're like, no, this is fucked up. We need to go. And that's what caused them to leave the first time. But then they came back. Why? Why would you come back? You know something's wrong.
Yeah. And the bunny was, you know, on the roof of the house and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, again, it's more like, you know, oh, like the guy's a super mastermind puppet master in the American one, where in the other one, it was just... they were just assholes that, like, guilt tripped them into getting killed, essentially.
Well, and in the American one, they say, hey, transfer us all your money, too. So they had a reason for doing it in the American.
Well, yeah, that was another thing I kind of sort of liked, because then that makes sense as to how they, because the guy says, oh, I don't work. I've never worked. I don't believe in working.
Yep.
Okay, so how the fuck do you have money? Like, yeah. How do you live in this house? How do you have all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, yeah, well, we, you know, we get all this stuff from the people we kill. Like, yeah, you get people that come, what, like once a year? Like, you ain't gonna get stuff. Like, the cash that they have in their pocket is not enough to live off of for a year,
right?
But yeah, so it makes kind of more sense that they would force him to do that. But I, again, the scene was just off-putting. It was a pointless scene.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at least they explained how they were able to survive and live.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everything's bad. There are some good things about this one. I got good stuff here, but overall, this is a huge step down.
Oh, yeah. once you get into your highlights then.
All right, highlights. The cast is good. I mean, McAvoy is outstanding.
He is.
In this movie, like the Evil Dad is played by McAvoy, and he does a fantastic job. Now, mm-hmm. the good mom and dad are played by Scoot McNairy and Mackenzie Davis, who are, I like them a lot. I've liked them since, did you ever see Halt and Catch Fire?
No, but last I saw Mackenzie Davis was in the Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, she was good in that. She was good in, she was in Blade Runner 2049.
Oh yeah,
but anyway, I know her from *Halt and Catch Fire*, and they were both amazing in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. If you haven't seen it, you really should make a point to watch it. It's fantastic. Anyway, so they were both in that show. They weren't a couple in that show, but they were both in that show, and it was I do like them a lot, and they did a great job. You know, like mm-hmm. playing the kind of people that would get guilt tripped into staying.
Yeah.
I mean. At least you get the kid warning them, right? But like the kid warning them, like you have way more reason to leave way earlier than you did, which is bizarre. I don't know why they did that. You know, it's like they added more like urgency, but then like didn't follow through on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. And there was like the scene where they're like, they're driving away and then he like throws the kid in the water. And they come back to like save the kid because right. they were just, oh, we're just going to drive away and go call the police. But then they're like, oh, well, the kid's going to die. If, like, dude, that puddle was like a foot deep.
Right. And, you know,
and if the police come and there's a dead kid there, it's even worse.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. It's like my issue with that whole scene was, it's just like, yeah, they're going to do it. And in a normal horror movie, they'd turn back and all get killed for it. But in this American version, yeah. Like, you know, yeah, we're even saving the kid. Everyone lives except the bad people.
Yeah, it's a very cheesified
mm-hmm.
version, for sure. Yeah, again, like we said, the money transfer thing makes sense, like how they survive. The Bangles' Eternal Flame is a fantastic song. it's played a lot in the movie, but it's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
And McAvoy is fucking shredded in this movie,
more so than he was as the Beast.
I know, holy shit, dude! Like he, like I don't know, he put on some massive muscle pounds. Like he's a giant in this movie.
Yeah,
I don't know. He was probably getting giant for some other movie. I don't see him needing to be that big for this movie. But
yeah,
that's all I got.
Yeah, I said the acting was phenomenal. McAvoy killed it, and he took the dad from the original and upped it to like 11, and he was more intense, I'd say. And I'd say his size and physicality compared to the American dad, huge difference, right?
Right.
Yeah. It. But like I said, the first two acts is essentially a shot for shot remake.
Yeah, everything is basically the same. There's like minor differences.
Yeah.
Mostly just getting the kids more involved earlier.
I wasn't a fan of Cotton Eye Joe being played for it either.
Holy shit. Whatever. That's on my list too, man. I fucking hate that song.
Yeah. But this was definitely gorier, which is fine because it obviously a lot more kills or brutal kills. As you said, it gives them motivation, they're transferring funds, and it makes sense why they're able to live off this and how they do this. So it all makes sense of how they can keep going back to Tuscany. So I agree with that. The motive being there is a good reasoning behind it, as opposed to just being a bunch of psychopaths.
I think there's the same amount of deaths in both movies.
Yeah, but the American one's definitely gorier.
Right. Yeah, because the American one, it's the evil mom, evil dad, yeah. And then the evil chef.
Yeah.
And then in the foreign one, it's good mom, good dad, and then the other kid.
Yeah. True. But that's what I have for my highlights. I'll go to the low points. Obviously, the American neutered ending is just atrocious. I understand they made it different, sure, but like that's a huge difference to the movie for like bringing it to the American audience. I think that took away what made the first original so good is that bad ending. So to my point, essentially being this movie's not needed for it. Just it should never been remade. If you're, it doesn't have to be exactly the same, but it was needed. The beta male of it all was just stupid and annoying. It's all hell. And yeah, I just wish that they were done it. And of course, I'm going to sin the trailer, because the trailer for this movie has the kid showing his tongue, making snipping fingers across the screen in the fucking trailer, which is a huge twist in the original movie.
I don't know about that. I mean, you can kind of figure out that the kid is abused pretty quick.
But I mean, I think that's a, you know, that's a pivotal scene in the original at the end with Agnes having it happen to her, just to have it in the trailer for the American one.
By the time that happened in the American one, it had already been ruined, I think.
Yeah.
So I really don't think it matters. Again, like, even if you heard rumors of the first one, you know child abuse is involved.
Yeah, but like, so when I watched the American trailer, and I go, holy crap, they just gave away a huge thing of the original. That I just, it rubs me the wrong way when that happens. So that's what I have. How about you?
Yeah, I think they tried to add too much story. Like, yeah, they tried to like smooth over why some things happened, but mm-hmm. in doing so, they remove other things that make sense. Like I said, like the whole they're taking out of the sex scene, Agnes in bed, doesn't make sense in the American one. It makes mm-hmm. sense in the foreign one. It made sense why it would happen, but this one, it does not make sense. So like some things they give it more information, some things they take away. It's very strange to me. Like the kid's anxiety is essentially just there to explain why they go back for the bunny, I think. Mm-hmm. It's like that doesn't serve any other purpose other than like to distract him later on with the breathing bunny in a cabinet or something. That's like the only other thing that links to it. Yeah. It's like they had writers write that in to like explain why they would go back for the bunny. But then they have the writers make a scene make way less sense because they refuse to put a sex scene in. It's bizarre. I don't know who the fuck was writing this. Like they had a team of people just like writing on different sections at different times or something. I don't know. The whole marital issues subplot was completely pointless. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like other than this is why the sex scene isn't happening. Other than, like, if you watch the original, you kind of sort of understand why that's there, because these two actors can't be paid enough money to have a sex scene, right? You know, like a nude scene. Like, I get that, but like, it's kind of like stretching.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it just seems like a lot of these things are written in simply to answer questions that people are going to have, and they don't do a very good job patching that over. Yeah, like I said, Cotton Eye Joe, fucking hate that song, and they played it like 10 times. The kids are too involved, right? Like I think that's what makes the film lose its magic, right? Is like the kids weren't involved before. It was like the parents slowly figuring out what was really happening. Mm-hmm. And the kids were just kind of like, you know, they're kids, they're not going to understand the level of things that are happening. They only know what's told to them.
Right.
And in this one, it's like they're, you know, little detectives that figure out the truth before anybody else. I think it takes away a lot of the magic. It puts kids in this controlling point. And then like they immediately hand the power back. It feels really weird why it's in there and why they went that direction. I don't know. And then again, the different ending, obviously it's lame. It's not good. I think the original one has like a purity to it, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's a like an A to B. Like they just keep getting stuck by these guilt trips, and then by the time they decide they need to get out, it's way too late. And the other one ends up like kind of like an action adventure film where they have to like, you know, fight the you know, like it's like I feel like it's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, you know, like they're running away from like, you know, kind of like very one-sided monstrous people, you know what I mean? It's just a very bizarre ending compared to how ambiguous and how, again, like I said, pure the original was. And then this one, it just they turn the ending into like an action fucking ending, like a slasher action ending. And then no one dies. No one that's has any shred of goodness in them dies. It's that's a lie. These slashers, you know, usually have the ability to kill off somebody. Somebody that you don't want to see dead. But this one, it's like, even the fucking kid with the cutout tongue survives.
Yeah.
It's sad. Anyway, that's all I got.
All right. You want me to go first for number of abused children out of 10?
Sure.
Yeah, I think had the third act been different, it would have been a good remake. So I don't know. Like I said, it just feels neutered. So I'm going down to 7. How about you?
Again, 7 to me is a movie I want to rewatch. I don't want to watch this. I'd rewatch the original one. I wouldn't rewatch this one. So I'll give it a 5.5.
5.5. It's fair. So I told you you're going to like the original a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, again, I've been waiting to watch the movie because I knew we were doing this episode. Mm-hmm. It's been sitting in the hopper for a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been wanting to watch it for a while. So it's interesting. And I can't believe just how egregious the American remake is. Like that's what they used to do with American versions of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They would like neuter off whatever they wanted to and make it an action adventure ending where all the good guys lived. That's how they used to do things. And they stopped doing that. And a lot of times the American one would go further simply to like show them, hey, look, you know, we can do terrible shit too. Right.
Yep.
And this just seems like a step in the wrong direction. I really hope that doesn't catch on because they had some good people, some good actors. I think they could have done some really fun, interesting things with, and they just like give you this neutered, lame version of a film that you can watch a much superior version of that only came out 2 years before.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got. You want to add anything else?
No, bring us home.
All right, so next week we're paying a visit to one of the masters of horror himself, Stephen King. Have we done a Stephen King episode before? I couldn't remember. I know we have a bunch like planned out, but did we actually do one before? I don't remember. I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, so one of probably many in the future. Not right after this one, but in the future at some point, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more of them. But anyway, we're doing some Stephen King movies. We're watching the classic Salem's Lot and then the modern day remake. I've heard a lot of bad things about the remake. I have not seen it yet. So we'll find out. I've of course seen the original because it's my lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got to learn about my lot. But yeah, so we'll watch the remake. I'm not excited for that, but we also watch is I don't know if it's the newest adaptation. The Monkey, is that the newest one?
Well, until The Long Walk just came out, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was like, I know one just came out, I couldn't remember, but no, yeah, mm-hmm. Correct. The Long Walk just came out as of this recording like 3 days ago.
Yep.
Which I do really want to see. That was one of my favorite Bachman books.
On the treadmill? Do you want to do the treadmill theater?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Do they have that?
Yeah, they said that if you don't walk the entire time, you get kicked out and you get to see the rest of the movie.
Well, I mean, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that for the sole reason of like treadmills aren't quiet.
No.
Like that would be a no. Like you got like 100 treadmills running at the same time. Good luck hearing the fucking movie. That's an interesting thing. You know, that's fun. But like, again, it's like when you go to like the Bruin View, like if you're going to see a movie you don't really want to see, it's great. You know, you drink and eat and who gives a shit. But like, if you really want to watch that movie, like people are fucking talking and clinking glass and spilling shit. You know, it's like, it's fucking loud. The lights are up too high because people got to see what they're eating and drinking and shit. Like it sucks. I hate going there. Again, if it's some shit movie I don't care about, okay, that's fine. But if it's like a movie I actually want to see, I get pissed off.
Yeah. I figure we would do The Long Walk when, for another Stephen King one. So.
Yeah, like I said, I know we're gonna have more Stephen King episodes in the future, but this right now it's not. We're not doing like a series; it's just a one-off.
Yep.
Maybe next year we'll do some Stephen King.
Summer of Stephen.
Well, maybe. Well, not this October, obviously. This October is already mapped out. Maybe like next October we could do like the whole month.
Ooh.
Could be like all the Stephen King movies, because there's a lot.
Yes, there is.
There's a lot of them. So we could probably do like literally all of October. It could be like all the Stephen King movies. Well, we'll figure it. It's a year away. We'll figure it out. But,
yep.
But we'll hammer that one out. So yeah, so that's next week. And again, yeah, the rumors of the old one being better than the new one. I've heard that. We shall see, I suppose. But I'm not looking forward to seeing it. Monkey, I heard, was okay.
Sounds good, Perkins. Come
on. Yeah, I was gonna say it doesn't. I haven't heard great things, but I've heard okay things.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody disliked it, but. Yeah, we'll see. So remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.